Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always,
always
use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Oh, yeah, here it is. It's Tuesday. It's Hockey Talk. It's Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are here recording on Saturday, May 14th. By the time you hear this on Tuesday, every first round series should finally be in the books. But if you want to talk about an exciting weekend of hockey starting today, this afternoon for us, five game sevens in two days in the first round of the playoffs. If you're the NHL, you couldn't ask for a better result. Sadly, three series of end, and Dave, one of them involves your Caps,
and one of them involves your Blues. So there you
go. One of them does involve my Blues, and in what's a fun turn, Dave was right twice. Unfortunately, he was right in one sad way for him and one good way for me, because I was wrong. And we'll talk all about that after the first commercial break. But before we do that, though, before we go to the commercial break, I have a question.
Sure.
So my birthday is this coming Monday.
Happy birthday in advance.
Well, and then by the time they hear this, in the past. But my question is, when your birthday is during the week, which weekend is the quote birthday weekend? Is it the closest to? So like since it's Monday, does that mean this current weekend that we're recording is the quote unquote birthday weekend? Or do I get like to sandwich both weekends and just call it a multiple birthday weekend? I want to be an immature 20-year-old and act overprivileged about how important my birthday is. So this is really important stuff, far more important than hockey. And so which one counts?
Whichever scenario is most advantageous to you is what I would go with, Pat.
Ergo, I will celebrate both weekends. Let's hear it for me. As Daniel Bryan would say, yes, yes, yes. I'm all down and for it. But I did enjoy some libations this past Friday. That was enjoyable. Some blended scotch, because I was at a bowling alley bar and they don't actually have like a single malt scotch whiskey. You get Dewar's and you will like it. And yeah, you'll have
Johnny Walker Red.
They didn't even have that. They don't even have Johnny Walker Red. They have Dewar's. Yeah. Doers White Label. That's what you get. But I did get a birthday shot out of it. The bartender that was there, good friend. She was kind enough to give me what I can only assume is what the college kids drink these days, because it tasted like fruit punch.
they do some interesting things nowadays.
Well, it didn't even taste like alcohol. It tasted like candy. So it was very strange to me. Like, I couldn't taste the alcohol in it. They said there was alcohol in it. I don't know. I was cool though. I was cool. I got to do some karaoke singing, all that fun stuff, to celebrate 44. And you know, everybody knows that the 44th birthday, that's a milestone.
Heart 8. I don't know what the milestone is. Heart 8 coming out, man.
Right. There you go. So maybe I should go to the casino. I haven't been to, like, there's a tiny MGM casino, like 30 minutes from where I live. I don't know. Maybe I could, can I get one of those little scooters and like drive around in a scooter?
You in a scooter is a basket. That's a bad visual, Pat.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun. So it's been quite a weekend though in hockey, as the first round of the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs is coming to a close. And we're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the series that ended. And then we will talk about the games that we've got coming up, because like I said, five game sevens, and you can't go wrong with five game sevens. So stick around, everyone. You're listening to Hockey Talk on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Well, 8 series started a couple of weeks ago. We took a week off last week because those series were, like, all of them outside of one series, tightly contested series that have basically gone the distance, Dave. That's good hockey. The only series that hasn't looked, that wasn't impressive, and I think we expected this. I think that's the one we called. Colorado rolled through Nashville, like, just rolled them.
They did, but I think it was a little bit tougher than a lot of people anticipated it would be. I mean, they swept them.
They scored 7 goals in a game, man. Yeah. That is not tougher.
No, I mean, you look at what Nashville was working with. They didn't have their starting goalie. They pushed him to overtime one game. I don't think Nashville could play him any better than they did under the circumstances. And I mean, it's a sweep. Colorado got a little bit of pushback, but certainly not, you know, nothing to tax them going into the next round, which I'm sure you want to discuss.
I mean, we will discuss the next round when they take on my Blues and probably get a little bit more resistance, though I will still stand by. I will own. I had no faith in my hockey team. I predicted the series to go six, and it did. It just didn't go the six that I predicted. It went 4-2 to the Blues instead of 4-2 to the Wild. I just thought that it was Minnesota's time. Like, I thought Minnesota had, like, the Blues have dominated Minnesota, but the last few games have been tighter. They've been more competitive, and it just felt like Minnesota was going to turn the corner. And after game two, and those back-to-back wins, like, the Blues won the first game, and I was like, oh, that's nice. We stole one in Minnesota, which is kind of what I thought might happen. But then Minnesota went back-to-back, you know, won that game two, won game three in St. Louis. And I'm like, well, this is going to go the way that I kind of predicted it was going to go. And Craig Berube, to his credit, made a goal change. And Jordan Binnington looked like Stanley Cup Jordan Binnington for the last four games of that series, for the four wins that are the three wins that the Blues got after game three. Like, he was a wall again. And in game six, gave up one goal, and it was an inconsequential goal. Like, there, like, by the time Minnesota scored, it was done. You know, and between the Blues power play scoring in every single game of that playoff series to the goal switch, and it seemed to really sort of settle the team down. Go Blues. Good job. And I think that they'll steal a game. I think they'll win a game or two against Colorado this year. And I, you know, when you compare that to last year, where they just, again, rolled out of the playoffs in the first round, where they were all out of sorts and discombobulated. I still think Colorado has too much offense. And while they're still kind of quote unquote young and improving, I think their talent's going to win out. They're just so young, fast, and skilled. And I think that's going to pay off. I think the Blues will challenge them a little bit, but I think they're moving on outside of the Blues winning a couple.
Yeah, I mean, first off, about the Minnesota series, you know, you've got the switch to Binnington was huge for St. Louis because they'd been outscored 11-3 in games two and three. All the momentum was going with Minnesota. They make the switch. St. Louis, and I mean, you know, I talked about him in the preview. Jordan Kyrou came through big in game four to tie the series. Tarasenko, trade bait that we may be. Natural hat trick. In game five, Binnington comes up big in game six. I mean, and Tarasenko's hat trick was huge because they went into that final period tied, and he scores three in a row and puts it away. I think that they will press Colorado much more than a year ago. This is a better team. This is a, you know, they've it's not a shortened schedule. They really seem to gel at the end of the year. They played Colorado tough during the regular season. I agree with you that Colorado's simply got too much offense and didn't have nearly as tough a series as St. Louis did for the Blues to really, I mean, I say that, but you know, we're going to talk about the Caps and Panthers, and you look at stuff on paper and say, yeah, they don't match up so well, but once you get out there, you never know. And I do like Binnington's goaltending a little bit better than who's Colorado got, Kemper right now, or I'm not sure who's playing goal. I'm not sure it matters with that offense. I'm not sure it matters. But
right. they don't put a lot of pressure on their goaltender because they are in the offensive zone so much.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And I think, you know, I mean, yeah, you look at that series, Colorado put up 21 goals in four games. That's ridiculous.
Sick. That's sick.
I think St. Louis will slow that down. I probably right now I'd say Colorado in six. If you know, if you're asking,
yeah,
me to make
I think that's reasonable.
But I think, you know, St. Louis, I mean, you know, you got, they got inside Minnesota's head. They finally switched from Fleury to Talbot the last game. It didn't make any difference.
It's too little too late at that point, too.
Yeah, yeah. And the Blues had all the momentum, and so solid victory for your boys. I'm looking forward to the series against Colorado. It will not be the cakewalk that it was last year, and that's good. Colorado needs to be tested.
Right. I just hope we get a couple more defensemen back. That's probably the biggest concern for the Blues right now is just it was a war of attrition. You know, like it was just everybody getting hurt.
Would be. Yeah, we expected that with that series. I thought that would be the most competitive series of all of them. We were wrong, but
right. Can I also just make a quick joke that I get that Berube went with 11 offensive players and 7 defensemen, 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Can we stop talking about it on the damn telecast though? Like every 5 seconds, well, Craig Berube's got 11, you know, wings and centers and blah blah blah, they can throw out all these different combinations. Yes, we get it, you've said it all series, ESPN/TNT/TBS/True TV. Yeah. And it's worked, but
okay, it's not gonna work against Colorado.
Well, again, maybe it just turns into a high scoring affair. I think that the Blues might be a little more physical than Colorado.
And that's what they need to be to slow those guys down.
So, and just if you can throw a lot of different lineups at them, a lot of different lines, maybe you can really take something out of that scouting report. All right, let's get to the sad Dave, your NHL team playoff run has come to a close.
Again, though,
it was longer than we expected, a little bit more of a series than we expected. Went six.
Let's be honest about this. The Capitals should have won this series. I mean, I'm straight up with you. They should have won this series. You look at the last three games that Florida won, the Caps led in every single one of them. The Caps led in the third period twice. They had a 3-goal lead in game 5 and they couldn't.
That was it. When they blew that lead, that was the series.
Yeah, it was. They were literally, I talked to you about it. We texted earlier in the week, 2 inches away, 2 inches from a 3-1 series lead. It falls apart. You know, it's a game of inches. You know, 2 inches away, the puck bounces 2 inches off Hathaway's shoulder, right to, I forget who got the tying goal, Reinhardt or somebody like that. But I give Florida full marks. I give them all the credit in the world. This is a resilient team. They were facing enormous pressure, facing the number 8. But the Caps weren't your typical number 8 seed. You're talking about a team that just won the Cup 4 years ago. Lots of experience. Knew how to play, you'd think. But here's what killed the Capitals. All the turnovers. And being careless with the puck. And Florida with that transition tight. And Florida struggled for, you know, all the way through the final, I don't know, 3-4 minutes of game 4. They could not get that breakout game going at all. And then things kind of open up. And then in game 5, all the turnovers led to a lot of stuff by Florida. I give Florida all the credit in the world for being resilient, for facing that pressure. It's a very talented team. How brilliant does the Florida GM and the front office look for getting Claude Giroux? He played a major part in this series, especially yesterday, and the assist on the series winning goal, I believe, got the goal that put them in front. And the Caps, of course, tied it up late. But, you know, I think and Carter Verhaeghe, man, geez, what a series. All three games that Florida won at the end, he got the game winning goal. Two of them in sudden death overtime. That's huge. I mean, you've got to give him credit. I do think, you know, if Tom Wilson doesn't go out in the first 3 minutes or whatever it was, a game one, this is a different series. You know, you lose your physical enforcer, you lose one of your best players. That definitely hurt them. But, you know, from the Cap standpoint, that's 4 years in a row you've gone out in the first round. I think you got to make a coaching change. I think, you know, I mean, they did it 2 years ago when Reardon got, you know, couldn't get out the first round. Now you've had 2 years with the Peter Laviolette experiment. I think you've got to move on. You got to blow this thing up a little bit. They're just too old. and just don't have the talent to hang with a team like Florida. I'm really curious to see, you know, Florida's going to get Toronto or Tampa. I know we're going to talk about that. That's going to be a hell of a series. But, hey, I mean, it was a much better series. I take solace, some solace in the fact that the Caps made it competitive. But honestly, Pat, they should have won.
By the way, folks, this is the same guy who all hockey season has talked about how shitty his team is. And now is like, they should have won.
They never fail to disappoint. But I'm just saying, objectively looking at the series, they should have won that series.
I get you. I just want to point out, all season, they're going to blow it. They suck. They're terrible.
I was right.
They're old.
I was right.
They're not terrible. They don't suck. They made the playoffs. They put out a good showing for a series that we didn't expect to be as competitive as it was.
Did they choke 3 games in a row?
They lost 3 games in a row. That is correct. But, you know, you can be negative Nancy all you want. At the end of the day, you still love your team. And that's all that counts. All right. Let's move forward into the Saturday slate of games. 5 Game 7s. Of course, by the time this podcast airs, these results will be known. So we will get to listen on Tuesday, and you'll hear how prophetic or not prophetic we are when it comes to these games. And we're going to start with the first game on the slate. Boston on Thursday managed to even up their series with the Hurricanes in Boston. This has basically been a home team wins series all the way through. And frankly, I don't see that. I mean, the Bruins handled the Hurricanes in Boston, but honestly, I'm going with the home ice team. It's what this series has been. And I think the Canes get it done and advance. That's all I'm going to say about this one. Dave, your thoughts?
It's funny. We both thought the series would go 7, but right. I don't think either of us thought the series was going to be this way. There has not been one competitive game in the series. Nope. Like you said, it's all dominated by the home teams, and the swings are, you know, you look at what Carolina does at home and look at what Boston's doing at home. It's nuts. I thought it'd be a much more tightly contested series, which with a lot of grinding, a lot of physicality, it has not been really that way.
Right.
And I think, you know, I tend to agree with you. I think, you know, home ice has held true. Carolina is a different team in front of those fans. Boston is a different team in front of their fans. I think, you know, I feel like you're right. I think Carolina has too much in this Game 7 to win. I mean, and they pushed back a little bit in the third period of Game 3, but then they got a deflection. I think McAvoy got a deflection, and that took everything out of Carolina. I do like them at home. I think that they're good enough to pull this out. Will I be shocked if Boston wins? Not really. At this point, the series has been so Jekyll and Hyde.
Right.
Who the hell knows? But I think...
Well, and Boston does have the enough players that have the playoff experience to get the win.
They do.
In a Game 7.
They do. Absolutely. Lots of experience.
But as long as I get... I just want sad Brad Marchand to wrap up their season. Like, I don't care when it happens, but anytime Brad Marchand can cry, I'm okay with it. So that's what I'm going to go with there. Next game up on the slate, the next Game 7, a surprising Game 7. I thought this was going to end in 6. The Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning, in the span of 30 seconds in Game 6, I thought the Tampa Bay Lightning were done. Because in the second period, Tampa Bay's up 2-1, and Toronto scores back-to-back goals with about 30 to 45 seconds left to go in the period. And it was, you could have heard a pin drop in Tampa. And I, you know, credit to the Lightning. They are the defending Stanley Cup champions, but, and that shows some real mettle on a team. 'Cause that's the sort of period, you know, into a period that could kill a series. And they didn't. They tied it up in the third, won it in OT. I wasn't able to see the end of the game. I've been working all week, and so I've missed a lot of these games to see. Like, I didn't see who scored the winning goal or anything like that. I just knew it went into overtime, and I was like, shit, it's too late. I got to go to bed. It's kind of even the Blues game. I stayed up to see the Blues score the first goal of the game, and it was like, okay, we got one. I'm feeling pretty good about how they're looking. We'll see what happens in the morning. And, you know, thankfully I woke up to good highlights, but great series. And you, Dave, you've been trumpeting this is the Toronto Maple Leafs year. Unfortunately, until they show it, it's still the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, I get that we're in Canada right now, but I'm gonna stick to my guns on my prediction. Tampa Bay gets it done in seven on Toronto's home ice.
Yeah, you and I think we both had Tampa in five in this one. We thought that it would.
Right. We did not believe in the Leafs at all.
Not at all. And they have really surprised me with just how good they are. I mean, Matthews, Marner. Look, I tend to agree with you that until they prove me otherwise, I got to go with the two-time defending champions. But I will say this. Toronto should have won game six. They were dominant in overtime. If not for Vasilevsky, it's all over. And right. Campbell has been tremendous in goal for Toronto. And it was Braden Point who got the game-winning goal in overtime on a gritty scramble in the crease. And he gets the puck and he puts it in. Toronto's a much better, much more solid, much more cohesive team than I thought that they were. And they have not buckled under the weight of their legacy in this series, which I think is important. Now, whether they can do that this last time, and they got, I mean, there are a couple of questionable when Tampa tied that on a 5-on-3, there are a couple, one high stick was okay. The other one was a little bit odd where the guy like grabs, right. does a stick lift and he basically lifts the other guy's stick into his face. And they call that a penalty and Tampa capitalizes. I think, you know, when you look at these two teams and you look at where they are and their pedigrees and just, you know, big game, big pressure situations, you got to go with the two-time defending champions. Vasilevsky is going to be the difference maker. You know, if Matthews and Marner and those boys can get a goal early and feed off that momentum, I think that'll really help Toronto. I'm going to agree with you. I think Tampa takes this thing in seven, but you know, Toronto is a much better team than I think either of us gave them credit for. And they have shown that in this series.
Yep.
If they win, I'm not going to be surprised because honestly, they should have put this thing away in game six, but you saw they were deflated. The fans outside who were watching it on the screen in Toronto, you could literally feel the depression.
Right, it's the impending sense of, oh, shit, here we go again. So they got to overcome that, and we'll see what happens and whether they can do it. And come Tuesday, we'll know. So, all right, now on to the Game 7 of a series I have not watched a minute of. I've not watched a second of, actually. I haven't watched any of this series. But the Kings and the Oilers, out there with their 10 p.m. Eastern time starts and puck drops, this East Coaster is like, no thanks. We're all even 3-3. I don't even know. I don't know the sense of this series. Is this in Edmonton or is it in LA?
Game seven's in Edmonton. It's a series. I think I predicted it would go seven. I think I predicted Edmonton in seven. Not quite.
Jonathan Quick finding the fountain of youth.
Sometimes
when they win. Right.
You know, I mean, it's been, you know, another one of these kind of Jekyll and Hyde series because like in games two and three, Edmonton outscores the Kings 14-2 to take that 2-1 series lead. And then the Kings buckle down, you know, you get Jonathan Quick shutting him out in game four, which is massive. The Kings winning, right. You know, game five and the Kings, I mean, it took a late goal in game six for the Oilers to draw even on this thing. Man, I still like Edmonton to win this thing. I think that, you know, Connor McDavid has been really good in this series. I mean, a couple of games where he just basically like solo, just taking over, especially early in game six. I tend to think that, you know, that he's got one more really good game in them. I don't think Edmonton goes any farther. They'll win this series, but I don't think they're going any farther. Too many holes on that team. The Kings should not really be where they are. But, you know, you had a stupid play by one of the Edmonton players, Nurse, who headbutted one of the players, and that didn't work out. He got suspended. But, you know, the Kings, I think I was watching something, and one of the broadcasts on NHL Network, and they were talking about the Kings are really like a year early as far as being competitive, as far as where people thought they would be. Well, you're taking a team like Edmonton to game seven, and they really have no business doing that. But they've played opportunistic offense. They've gotten, you know, like you said, Jonathan Quick in a few games has found the fountain of youth. Can he do it once more? I mean, this is a guy, two-time Stanley Cup champion as well. Edmonton doesn't have anything like that. If it's a tight game going into the third period, I think the Kings probably pull this out. Edmonton's, you know, it's kind of like that Rocky III thing when Rocky fights Mr. T. Got to put him away early. And I think that's Edmonton's got to put them away early. The longer the Kings stick around, the worse it's going to get for them. I'll take Edmonton in seven, but I'm happy to see that, you know, this series was as competitive as I thought it would be. But it's been fun, Pat. It's been a fun series to watch. But yeah, it's a lot like, it's kind of like Boston and Carolina a little bit with all the ups and downs and the momentum swings, but a little bit more even, you know, with the home ice not being tilted as much as it is in that series. But yeah, I'll give it to Edmonton. They showed me something game six. They could have folded, especially when the Kings came back. I'll go with Edmonton.
Well, all right. We are going to take our second commercial break, and we come back. We're going to cover the final two game sevens, the Sunday games. Two also very intriguing games, if you ask me, and probably the ones I might actually be able to stay up and watch, because while I have to work on Sunday, I don't have to work all day, and I'll be home in time to watch some game seven action. So, but we're going to get you covered on all of those when we come back. You're listening to Hockey Talk on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Okay. So this Penguins Rangers series, I don't know what to make of it. Every time I think the Penguins are done, they're not done. And the Rangers seem to find a way to let them back in.
Actually, it's the opposite, but, I think.
Well, I don't know. What do I know? I don't know anything about hockey. I picked the Blues to lose in six. So I clearly don't know. Every time I watch it, I'm like, the Rangers clearly look like the better team. And then every time I turn away, the Penguins win again. Like, I didn't predict this series to go seven. I didn't predict this series to go the way. I thought the Rangers would handle the Penguins. And you were the opposite. You told me the Pens would give them trouble, give them fits. They have done more than that. And here we go. 7 p.m. on Sunday, May 15th, Rangers and Pens. What do we got, Dave?
Well, I think this series has been all about goaltending or the lack thereof. And it's been surprising to me because Shesterkin has not, this guy's going to win the Vezina trophy this year in all likelihood. He's had like one good game and the rest of the time he's really struggled. On the other side of the fence, you know, the Penguins lost to Smith in game one. Tristan Jarry has not played yet. And you've got Luis Domingue who's been in goal and trying his hardest. But the book is out on him that he's got a weak glove side, and the Rangers have exploited that. I think you know, the Pens were up 3-1. I really thought at that point, this is done. But a big thing happened in game five that turned the series around, and that's Sidney Crosby getting hurt. And I think that really buoyed the New York Rangers in a way that they've got all the momentum right now. If Jarry doesn't play in game seven, and Crosby doesn't play in game seven, and even if they do, and I know I picked the Penguins to win in seven, but I'm going to switch that now. I think the Rangers have got all the momentum. They're at home. I think Shesterkin's due for a strong game. I like the fact that I think he'll probably get that in game seven. The Pens have got to get, you know, they've got to get somebody on the back end to stifle the Rangers' attack. You know, they had a good shot. Kreider scored late in game six to tie it up. But you look at it right now, and this is another weird series. All the momentum is with the Rangers right now, I think. And I've seen the Penguins do this before, where a team that's arguably better comes back from 3-1, and then the Penguins just shut them down in game seven. I don't see that happening here. The Rangers have got a lot of youth, a lot of speed. Shesterkin's due. I'm flipping on game seven. I think the Rangers take this thing.
Right. Well, I hope the Rangers take this thing because they were my pick. The Pens have surprised me. And I like being right. And I forgot to go back and, like, we should have tracked who's been right and who's wrong. Like, I think you're ahead of me because you went with the Blues and I went with the Wild. So you got that going for you. Okay, my upset special is still in play. We're going to Calgary, the Stars and the Flames. I got to be honest. I expected, like, picked Stars to beat the Flames. I also expected the Flames to look better than what they have. I think they, you know, they started this series, I felt, very, very sluggish, if that makes sense. Like, they just, like, that 1-0 victory to start was a very uninspired 1-0 victory. Dallas has hung around. I got to stick with my prediction, even though we're in Calgary with this team that can score like crazy. But again, I picked the Stars in six in an upset special. Here we are. It's game seven. I'm not feeling great about it because I think home ice is going to matter here. But I'm going to stick to my guns, Dave. I'm going to stick with the Stars with the upset because I have to. It's my upset special, and I get to crow about it if they win tonight or on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't see Dallas being competitive in this series. It's a team that struggles to score, kind of like the Rangers were. But Ottinger, if I'm pronouncing that right, the goalie for the Dallas, yep, has single-handedly kept them in this series. Kept them in game six, made, what did he make? I mean, he faced, what, made 36 saves in game six. Calgary, that's their biggest problem, is they can't beat this guy. They've got enough to beat him in a few games, and Dallas has just got some offensive woes that show up every so often, and that gives Calgary an advantage. Calgary, you look at it, they're like, okay, they're the better team. It may not matter. You may be right. And home ice hasn't been crucial in this series. It's been helpful, you know, especially last two games, games five and six. I'm still sticking. I thought Calgary put this thing away in six. I'm surprised that Dallas is sticking around. I'm still going to stick with the Flames to win game seven and advance. But
I mean, they were like number three in the league in points or something this year, in terms of so
they just have not
but they just
capitalized in a few places.
They've been very uninspiring. It's been a very lackluster effort,
and credit Dallas's defense too and their goaltending,
right? So somebody's gonna show up. This is the best part about game sevens, and I'm just, NHL just retweeted a public relations thing that came out about 20 minutes ago. Five game sevens is the second most in any round in NHL history. So not just first round, any round, five game sevens. This is great stuff. And I gotta tell you, the best thing about game sevens is, and of all the game seven series opportunities that you have in all of sports, hockey game sevens are my favorite. Just like overtime hockey is my favorite. Playoff hockey, I still, for my money, and I think you agree, is the best playoff competition to watch.
Oh,
it's intense.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And
you get a game seven that goes into sudden death overtime, and oh my Lord, that's...
Yeah, it's drama. I put Major League Baseball and its old school extra inning rules as the other sort of great playoff drama sort of stuff. But there's nothing, in my opinion, compared to a Stanley Cup playoff game seven series anywhere. And we've got five of them. How great is that for hockey? The other thing I want to say before we wrap up the show, God help us, Canada needs to advance. We've been talking about this for a while. We need a Canadian team to advance tonight or tomorrow night.
We do. It would be a tragedy if they all go down, and they all might go down. And that the fact that all the Canadian teams are going to a game seven is nerve wracking for an entire nation on an unprecedented level.
Right. Edmonton, I think, has the best shot at least of comfortably doing it. Calgary is probably the best overall team, and Toronto, in my opinion, has got the most daunting task, but at least they're on home ice taking on Tampa Bay. So
I think Toronto's the best of the three teams, but they're facing the worst possible opposition that they could.
Right. The defending champs are going to come out desperate and hard. So exciting, exciting hockey. And we'll get to reflect on it all next week when we get into hockey talk for next week. But Dave, that's going to do it unless you've got any other little news tidbits you want to talk about other than firing your coach.
Hey, Barry Trotz is available. So, you know, we could bring him back.
There you go.
We know he can win.
There you go. Well, we'll see what happens there. Before we get out of here, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody out there in the interwebs. Oh, shoot. I need to do something first because I forgot to do it. Before we say goodbye, I need to remind you all that if you love what we're doing and you love the Chair Shot Radio Network and you love Hockey Talk and you love the content we put out each and every day of the week, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in one of our mini shirts. We have designs all across the board, everything from our logos to our shows to sayings and phrases. Shirts are only $19.99, or spend a few dollars more, get something soft style. It'll feel great on your giblets. Again, that site is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please forgive me, Greg DeMarco/PC Tunney. I wasn't the corporate shill at the right time. You get it now. Now, Dave, tell everybody where they can find you out there on the interwebs.
You can find me on Twitter at FirePeterLaViolette. You can find me on Twitter at AttitudeAg, that is at AttitudAGG, and on Facebook.com/AttitudeRegression.
Cool, and you can find me on the Twitter at WrestlingRealist, that is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network on Mondays with Dave here for Chair, or on Monday with Dave, PC Tunney, and now Aesop Mitchell, doing nerdy stuff with Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesdays with Dave talking hockey and soon to be talking music. And Wednesdays with Greg DeMarco and Miranda Morales talking wrestling on the Greg DeMarco Show. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Get out there and enjoy the playoffs. We got a great weekend. And if this is the appetizer, I can't wait for the main course as this playoff season continues. It's been a good one already. You have been listening to Hockey Talk on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.